Hi, Steve Artimer here, and welcome to the New Life Live podcast. We hope to provide help and hope in your life through God's Word, counselors, and psychologists as we answer questions from listeners who call with the challenges of life. Let's go to today's episode.
Welcome, actually. It's Chris Williams sitting in for Becky Brown today. I also have Jackie Mack Harris with us. We're going to be taking calls for the next 2 hours. So if you have something on your mind, something that we can help you with, please call in because we would love to talk to you. And so, Jackie, a few weeks ago, you were part of the Intimacy and Marriage Weekend.
Yes.
Okay.
It was such a treat.
Okay. Give me a highlight. Like, give me like what stuck out to you? What was like your experience, your highlight?
It was the aha moment. You know, it was great to have these couples that I got to sit with. You get to have your own little small group after each session. There's these breakouts. And so there gets to be an intimate kind of time with other couples and a facilitator. And the first session, there was this closed offness with two of the guys that I immediately identified with and figured they're probably avoiders.
Yeah.
By the time we got to the second breakout, they were opening up and they were talking. One guy in particular was just mind blown. Mm. He was mind blown at how he was still being affected by his dad. Mm-hmm. And his childhood stuff. He was mind blown by how hurt his wife had been, and that he had been the cause of that. He just was mind blown, and he was really excited about being able to go home and be different. And throughout the rest of the weekend, he was different. His responses were different. His interaction with his wife was different. But she was also mind blown. She was a vacillator.
Yeah.
And she just kept hearing herself in different conversations and coming to the realization that he's not supposed to have to read her mind was so good for the two of them. And it just made me happy to be there and be in that group and to get to see that transformation in such a short time. Mm-hmm. To be able, you know, I work with couples all the time, and some couples I've been working with for a while, and it takes a while to create emotional safety and get them to talk about hard things, but they come in this weekend ready to do that, and they just dig right in, and it was a blessing. I was so glad to be a part of it.
You know, a lot of times what we're not recognizing is that as we start identifying these patterns, you know, me as a pleaser, you as a voider, somebody else as a vacillator, they're just ways to avoid truth.
Yes. There are ways we're protecting ourselves from pain. Mm-hmm. We're trying to get a need met, but we want to do it in a way that doesn't hurt. And I just need to break it to you all. It hurts, right? The emotional avoider. I am queen of avoiding pain. I don't want physical pain, emotional pain. I don't want to deal with it. But I've learned that not all pain is bad. And that's probably the first time I've said that. But sometimes you're feeling emotional pain because you're grieving something or mourning something. And that mourning is only there because you've deeply loved or you've deeply cared about something. And so that there's some goodness to what you are feeling, even though it doesn't feel like it.
Well, and when we have the opportunity to get in a place where we can see the unseen, hear the unheard, and say the unsaid,
yes,
then the real healing begins.
Yes.
But for a lot of us, myself included, I didn't know what I didn't know.
Right.
I didn't know how to do that. And the Intimacy and Marriage Workshop allows us to do that. How We Love allows us to do that. Marital Therapy allows us to do that. So if you're like Jackie and I, and you need help identifying and being aware and really disclosing and talking about these things, let us help you. Reach out. Call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Go online, www.newlife.com. Again, we have a nationwide network of therapists and coaches, as well as books, resources, workshops. We will help lead your marriage to much greater healing and fulfillment. We'll be back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. Chris Williams with Dr. Jackie Mac Harris. We are so glad that you are with us today, and we're going to jump right into the calls. We're going to go to Gina, listening in Dallas, Texas on Sirius XM. Gina, are you there?
I am.
Well, tell us what's going on today.
Thank you very much for taking my call. What's going on is I have two dear friends of mine. They've been friends of mine over 10, 15 years. And they've been married over 20-something years. However, he has committed adultery. She is wanting to stay in the marriage, and he is too. But they don't know how to come back together and get over what they've gone through. She's having a hard time trusting him. I feel really bad for the both of them because I know how much they love each other.
Yes.
And I know what they say. I know what they believe what God says about marriages.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to know what kind of advice or what can I do for them to make a move forward and just live a happy marriage.
Well, they've got some healing to do. And we were just talking a little bit ago about the intimacy in marriage weekend, which I think would be great for them. I think every man's battle for him, restore for her at some point. But for starters, they need to get with a good couples therapist that can help them navigate the affair and the disclosure and the, her being able to hear what he has to say, him being able to hear what she has to say. And sometimes that can take a little bit of time. So they could get into couples therapy and be working on that and get to intimacy and marriage this summer. I think that that would be a good way to go.
Yeah, this is a long road. Uh-huh. And I tell couples who come into my office and working through betrayal trauma, especially sexual betrayal trauma, I said, and I put it like this. I said, put 7 years in your back pocket right now.
Yeah.
And they look at me kind of shocked. And I'm like, that's kind of an arbitrary number. But based on the work that I've done over the years, that's about the timeline that you want to be able to set aside or to anticipate that it's going to take that long to really restore a very, very solid foundation of trust. And it's going to be a bumpy road.
Definitely.
And it will be a really bumpy and painful road for both parties. But with a couple that does want to remain married, that are both are committed to it, there is so much that has gone on underneath the surface that is not talked about and not addressed.
Mm-hmm.
And that whatever that is in those hidden secret places has to come to the light.
Yeah, and that's what the therapist can help with. I worked with a couple or work with a couple, and for the first 3 to 3.5 years, it was just me and the wife.
Yeah.
And then one day I got online on session and the husband was sitting with her. And we, talked about him and invited him, but he had never been ready. And so now he's joined, and now it's his turn. And so now we're back to really slow work because now we're starting to uncover what was really going on for him. Mm-hmm. And a lot of why he didn't want to come to therapy. He thought he was going to get beat up. He thought he was going to get bashed. And that now that he realizes that's not what we're there for, he's starting to open up a little more. And his emotions, he's an emotional avoider. His emotions aren't something he likes to have on display. And so he's having to learn how to deal with that. And that's causing other things to now come up in the marriage. And so as Chris said, this is a journey. This is a long road.
Right.
I often tell people if they have both decided that they are staying, and that they're going to do the work they need to do and hold the boundaries they need to hold, their marriage will repair. But they will be doing work as the marriage is restitching itself. And I call it marriage 2.0. We're never going back to what you had before.
Yeah.
Marriage 2.0 is going to look like the vision you have of your marriage because now you're going to get honest.
Yeah.
The worst has already happened. There's nothing else to hide and hide behind. Let's just put it all on the table. And then we start to move forward from there and dream together again. And before you know it, you look back and that painful experience is so far in the rear view mirror that it doesn't have the same sting. It's now a part of the story, and we respond to the triggers that come up around it, but together. So it's about them being I feel like reunified in an emotional way, and that's going to take some work because they've been ripped apart.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she's even gotten to the point where she's thinking it's her fault.
Yes.
Thinking a certain way about herself.
Yeah.
What did I do to cause this? How do I help myself?
Yeah.
You know, so she's even feeling the type of way also. So.
Well, and that's the contagion of shame.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's behaving this way, driven by shame, and it gets on her, and she believes it's about herself.
Mm-hmm.
When we know 100% it is not.
Right.
There might be problems in the marriage. She might have things mm-hmm. that need to be worked on. But having an affair is not the solution to that problem.
Right.
Right? So we know that, like, that's how we can always say this isn't the cause.
Yeah.
The other person's not the cause.
Often affairs happen because someone is looking to get out of some pain. Mm-hmm. Something's hurting, and they're trying to make themselves feel better because they're just at the point where they can't take it anymore. And unfortunately, sometimes we talk to our partners and deal with the hard conversation, and sometimes people hit the terminal button, and they exit the marriage. And exiting the marriage can look like all kinds of things, adultery, addiction, or just generally exiting the marriage. But for these two, it was almost a cry that something was wrong, and that's what an affair is. There's definitely an indication that there is a problem, and she's got both people in the couple have stuff, and so it's mm-hmm. fine that she's looking at what do I need to do to grow, where are my parts of the problems in the marriage, but in terms of the affair. There may have been problems in the marriage, but the choice to have the affair was his. And so that's going to come out of where did that idea come from and him doing his work. I think Restore could be helpful for her,
mm-hmm.
being with other women that have experienced betrayal trauma. And definitely for him, every man's battle, and having being surrounded by other men who know what he's going through. There was a couple at Intimacy and Marriage that had gone through Restore, and they were a younger couple. And the young man was encouraging the men and saying, you know, a lot of us don't have dads that could teach us these things. If you don't have a dad, I'll be yours. And, you know, so there's just this love and support that these groups foster that I think your friends could probably really benefit from.
So, Gina, here's what we're going to do. I want you to encourage them to listen to this. You know, get on the podcast, you know, or the YouTube, listen to this, because we're going to recommend three things. We're going to recommend couples therapy, and that is with a person who is trained in betrayal trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really important. We also want to recommend Every Man's Battle for Him and Restored for Her. And then we're going to send you two books. We're going to send a copy of Intimate Deception, Healing the Wounds of Sexual Betrayal by Dr. Sherry Keffer, and that's for her. We're going to send you also Worthy of Her Trust by Jason Martinkus and Steve Arterburn for him. And so
that would be great.
Yeah, so we really want this marriage, especially with the desire to reconcile and to get healthy, to get healing and health, to get on the right stage. And pass along the number, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and have them call us, get online, and we would love, love, love to help them out.
And they know I listen faithfully.
So. Oh, excellent.
And they know. Yes.
Well, thank you for listening faithfully. We really, really appreciate that.
So I'm glad I called and got the advice. Thank you
well,
so
me
much.
Too.
I want them to laugh.
Thank you, Gina.
Thank you, and thank you for your loving care for them. And, you know, Chris, you were mentioning Restore and Every Man's Battle, and you gave the number for them to call. Sometimes people can't afford to come to the events, and we have scholarships.
Yes.
And so give us a call, and we may be able to help make it happen for you.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I also want to point out is if you've been through one of our workshops and your life has been transformed by it, that I want to encourage you to give back.
Mm-hmm.
Seed that for somebody else so that, again, finances are not a barrier to get the help that they need. And so, again, you can go online at www.newlife.com and you can donate specifically to our scholarship fund. And that would be a huge, huge help for us. It'd be a huge help for those in attendance. And I think one of the things that is so difficult that I hear all the time is it kind of starts where we started, and that is saying the unsaid, seeing the unseen.
Yes.
Is that there's these festering things inside of us. If I can speak to men, there's festering things inside of us where we are getting our needs met through a sexual acting out behavior, whether that be pornography or masturbation or affairs or all of the different ways in which that can happen. Simply because, and it's not, I say simply, it's not all this simple, but but if I can reduce it down to this, because we are not showing other people what's going on inside of us and getting legitimate needs met in legitimate ways.
And I will say for us as women, there are times when we are really uncomfortable with our men's expression of emotion. And so
say more, please.
Yes. So there are times where men will try to share and the woman discounts what he's saying. That's not true, or that's not what you mean, or you're being too emotional, calm down. And I know we hate hearing that, but I hear women do the same thing. And so there are times where men are trying to share and it comes out as aggression. Or anger, right?
Yeah.
They're feeling something really big. And then the woman's like, see, there you go. You get so Jekyll and Hyde, or I can't talk to you. You're always so angry. She's not allowing him to express what's going on. But I guarantee you, if she bursts into tears and starts talking really fast and loud, she's going to expect him to listen.
Yeah.
Right. So his reaction to her big emotion isn't okay. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, hers feels okay. And really, it's all of us responding to our childhoods. And so often for women, having the man get angry or sound aggressive while he's really just trying to express his emotions is intolerable for them because of their childhood. Dad was an angry man. And so now they think this is an angry man and I can't listen to him. And we're trying to fix him.
Yes.
Control parent. Quiet down, and instead of learning to create more space inside to contain his emotion and to be able to just mirror and validate what he's saying and to not take it on. And I had to learn as an emotional avoider to stay present in a conversation in which my husband was expressing emotion that to me felt like complaints and anger and aggression and ridiculous. And I would just want to hit the mute button and it'd be blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, because a lot of times when we're hearing things that we're not used to containing, we're not used to holding, what we're trying to say is just make it go away.
Right. And so then you might say, calm down, calm down, you're fine. But now I'm telling you, your emotion is too much for me.
Well, and really what us guys can hear and what women can hear is now you're rejected.
Yes.
I can't handle you. You're too much.
Yep.
You have to be something different. And so there's a part of us that will do one of two things. Is that when we're sharing something important and we feel rejected in it, we will either shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not going there again.
Yep.
Or we will get louder.
Yes.
Or we'll escalate.
Yeah.
And neither one of those things are helpful whatsoever.
Neither one are helpful. And what you can do, if escalation is the direction that it goes, what I tend to do is take a deep breath and recognize that the tone is the sound emotion makes. So if it's an angry, frustrated tone, you don't need to tell them to change their tone. You just need to note they're angry.
And I like to use the acronym AID, A-I-D.
Mm-hmm.
So I need an aid in my emotional life. I need to be aware of it. I have to be able to identify it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to be able to disclose it.
Yes.
And so if we're going to be emotionally, relationally healthy people, we need aid.
We need aid.
And again, we didn't grow up with, most of us, some of us did, but not all of us grew up with that. So it's something that we have to learn. So it's okay if we don't know it yet, but let us help you become aware. Let us help you identify what that is, and then let us help you disclose that to another person. Because in that, we get so much strength and vitality, health, and healing. So thank you for listening to us today. We're going to be right back. We're also going to be in the studio for 2 hours. Give us a call, 1-800-229-3000. We'd love to talk to you. We'll be right back.
We
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. And joining with us in studio right now is Robin. Robin is one of our development officers, and she's going to talk about estate planning. And Robin, first off, why is estate planning important?
Well, I think it's something that a lot of us think about, but we don't get around to doing it. But it's important because once you have an estate plan in place, you don't have to think about it anymore, generally. Mm-hmm. You have talked with your spouse, perhaps, and you've come up with a plan, and then you know exactly what's going to happen with your assets when you pass away, at least what you hope to happen.
Well, in dealing with people who have passed away, my father being one, and other people in our family, I just know that when the assets haven't been accounted for or executed out or planned out, it adds so much pressure and stress and even potentially strife to an already complicated situation, which is grief.
Oh, absolutely. It's an emotional time when a parent passes away or any family member passes away. And it's kind of it's triggering as well, especially mm-hmm. when it's a parent.
Yes.
And old fights and struggles come back into play mm-hmm. Once a parent has passed away. And so it's so much better if you've taken the time before you pass away to figure out, okay, what are our goals with our estate plan? What are we passionate about? Who in our family would benefit from our assets? So you can get that all squared away beforehand. And we at New Life have partnered with Barnabas Foundation, which is an organization that works with its member ministries to assist in plan giving. Mm. And so our supporters can contact Barnabas and set up a meeting with an attorney, and they'll meet with them in person, and they'll talk about, well, what's your who's in your family, mm-hmm. what are your assets, what are your goals, and all those sorts of questions, so that you can figure that out. And then once you have the blueprint, then you would take it to an attorney, and they would create the necessary documents for that. So it saves you time and money. And then after you have that estate plan in place, that's when you want to have a family meeting, talk about, okay, this is what we have mm-hmm. discussed and decided, and this is how it's going to go. And so that way your children... they know the reality of the situation, and yes. they don't have expectations that aren't going to be met.
Oh, that's so
because that can be, really troubling and create a lot of strife in the family.
Yeah,
when they have unrealistic expectations.
Yeah, that's really good because, again, like I said, there's so many things to think about, so many things to process, so many decisions that have to be made. When decision-making can be compromised by deep grief mm-hmm. and all of the different feelings and emotions that come up with that. Right. And one of the things that we like to say is that, when you die, you can't take your things with you. But if we have things, can we continue to allow them to bless others?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
I think that that's a huge thing. It's like, when I can't take it with me, but I can put it in play to continue to do God's will on planet Earth.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, what a wonderful opportunity. To know that once I'm gone, the things I was passionate about, I'm still supporting, mm-hmm. and it's still going forward. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, Barnabas Foundation will help you, whether it's a trust or an annuity or whatever. They'll discuss all the options that are available to you to not only support your family, but also the ministries that are so important to you.
Yeah. Well, Robin, thank you so much for all of your work, and especially this important work. If you're listening and you need help with estate planning, maybe it's something that you hadn't even thought about, but you need to be thinking about it. It needs to be happened. Please contact Barnabas Foundation and they will help lead you through. Please mention New Life Live, or New Life had referred you to there, and we'll get you on that journey to make sure, again, as we say, your possessions don't possess you or anyone else, but instead they continue to really bless people and execute God's will while you're around and after you're gone. So, yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, one more thing.
Just one last thing. If you're thinking about this, you can go ahead and give me a call here at New Life.
Oh,
I'm at 949-544-7977, and I can put you in touch with Barnabas. And or if you would like to see a short video on healthy conversations with your family about your estate plan, you can go to barnabasfoundation.org and look for interactives. And you can click on that, and there's healthy conversations, and then there is another good one called What's Got You Stuck?
Oh, wow.
So I would encourage everyone to go to Barnabas Foundation and look for those videos.
Those are such good resources. You know, and what's amazing is that oftentimes we don't want to have these conversations. They can be really weird. They can be really awkward. So Barnabas Foundation can help you with that. And again, we're going to be in studio for 2 hours today. Give us a call, 1-800-229-3000. Again, that's 1-800-229-3000. Also, I just want to mention the Emotional Freedom Workshop coming up right around the corner on March 16th. And so if grief is something you're stuck in, we are going to be addressing that. We're going to help lead and guide you through a grief process where you can get your life back on the other side of the loss. So we're going to be right back right after this.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Club New Life supporters who give a monthly donation because they want to continue to offer help and hope in these very, very difficult places. To find out more about Club New Life, you can go to our website, newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, if you're new to us, we drop an episode every weekday. We would love it if you would rate or write a review, which helps more people discover help and hope, and helps us share wisdom with as many people as possible. Now let's listen to our counselors as they help people walk through life's hardest places.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. Chris Williams, Dr. Jackie Mack Harris. We're going to jump right back to the phones, and we're going to go to Rose in Everett, Massachusetts. Rose, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you well. Tell me what's going on. How can we help you today?
Thank you for taking my call. I listen to your program every day.
Oh, thank you.
And the reason for my call is because I've been blessed by the previous two programs that you've had that I've heard today. One was understanding a person and loving a person that has bipolar. Uh-huh. I am bipolar. And then also there was another program that you previously aired speaking on infidelity in a marriage. And if two people want to work things out, how to go about doing that. So I've already gotten a lot of the answers that I was looking for in the previous show that aired, phone call that aired. My question is, what do I do in a marriage where my husband is not living with me, and he says he has not abandoned us, but he's not very much of a provider. And then at the same time, every time we have a serious conversation about maybe hopefully getting back together the right way and making things work with each other, I never get a clear answer.
Mm-hmm.
On Valentine's Day just recently, we had a long conversation, and I suggested, like, marriage marriage counseling.
Yeah.
And he suggested maybe we should do individual counseling.
Oh, okay. And so what's the question for us?
You know, I guess the question is, what should I do? Because I'm a Christian and I don't believe in divorce.
Okay.
But I feel like I'm stuck in an unhappy marriage, and should I be seeking happiness or should I be seeking...
So I got... So, Rose, let me jump in. You're a Christian and you don't believe in divorce, correct?
Right.
Okay, so let me ask a different question. Do you believe in marriage?
I believe in marriage.
That's awesome, because that's not what you have.
Right, I don't. He doesn't live
with me. So you don't have to worry about believing in divorce if you don't have a marriage.
He barely provides, but occasionally he comes to my house and we engage in marital duties.
Oh, so sex.
Right.
Okay.
And but you called it marital duties. Is it a duty on your part or his? Or both?
I thought it was a duty on my part.
Okay. So you're having sex with him out of obligation.
Because we got married in the church and we got married in the court. And, you know, and maybe the reason why he's doing this is because he hasn't been able to forgive me for things that I've done in the past. Maybe because I'm bipolar and I was a broken person going into the marriage.
Oh, okay. So Rose... Two broken people don't make one fixed.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Did he move out for a reason? You said maybe he won't forgive me. Why isn't he living at home?
Right. Maybe the reason is, the reason he says he moved out is because he says I kicked him out back in 2020 when I had an episode of bipolar and there was an intervention that was done. And then he says I kicked him out back then. He says I kicked him out 3 times. I don't recall that. I only recall kicking him out one time
Let me jump in here. There's a lot going on.
There is.
Okay, so let me start with one of them. What are you doing for your bipolar? How are you treating it?
I take medications.
Excellent. Fantastic. So are you in any counseling, any...
Yes.
Excellent. Totally. Fantastic. Excellent.
So he said that he thought you should both do individual therapy before couples therapy, and you are in therapy, or are you seeing a psychiatrist?
He doesn't want to do couples therapy.
Right. He said you guys should both do individual, but you have a therapist?
I'm considering going back to therapy. I had one, but for 8 years. For 8 years, I had one, and then I'm considering going back to therapy now because I don't know what to make out of this, you know, like, whether he's not with me because I'm bipolar or whether he's not with me because I committed adultery in the past because
do you know if he's committed adultery?
I mean, I know he's committed it in like social media, but I don't know if he's done it physically.
Well, because I know, like, just follow the rabbit trail. It's like, okay, there's a lot going on here. So, Rose, can you hear my voice, what it sounds like?
Yes.
Does it sound different than normal?
It sounds like you're trying to understand a little bit more.
Well, what I'm getting at is I'm fighting a cold right now. And so if someone said that, like, hey, Chris, it sounds like you have a cold. If Jackie's like, hey, you sound really nasally, Chris. I see you using the cough button. You see you doing all these things. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. Right?
Right.
No, I'm not.
Right.
There's a term for that. It's called gaslighting.
Yes.
Right? I haven't. Hold on. I know. I haven't abandoned you, but I'm not there. Huh? That's like saying, like, no, the nasally, the cough, the congestion. That's not a cold. That's something else.
He doesn't answer my calls. He doesn't answer my text messages.
He doesn't answer your calls or text messages.
Barely ever he answers the text messages and calls. And we have a 13-year-old daughter.
Okay.
So your question is, what should you do?
What should I do? Because I didn't think I was supposed to get a divorce. And everybody keeps telling me that that's what I should do and I should put them on child support.
Well, let's do this. Let's start here. I do think that you should file for legal separation.
Because you're not together.
Thing
No. That's another thing I've heard somebody suggest
okay,
to me.
So, Rose, hear us out. I want you to file for legal separation. I want you to have a conversation with him. You're in or you're out. If you're in, then we go do the work necessary to be a married couple.
Right.
Okay.
Like the
let's say that he does nothing. He continues to do his pathway. And it does lead to divorce. Did you divorce did you divorce him? It's a trick question.
I mean, I should divorce him.
Well, no. Listen, you're not following me here. If the marriage ends because he refuses to be married, all you're doing is honoring the decision he's already made.
Right. Don't get tripped up on.
Right.
You're stuck on. I shouldn't divorce. I shouldn't divorce. I shouldn't divorce. Got it.
Right.
We hear you. Oh, so right. Let's sit that aside. Let's focus on instead of what you shouldn't do. Let's focus on what you should do. You should see your therapist regularly.
Yeah.
You should meet with your psychiatrist and make sure that everything is going okay medication-wise.
That is in place.
Okay. And I would also recommend a medical physical as well so that all your systems are
moving. I do that all the time. Even the dentist. I do all that.
So you got all that taken care
and
of.
I speak to somebody every Friday.
Okay.
Yes.
And so you've got all of that part taken care of, and you guys are still separated. And so he's making a decision. He is not wanting to live under the same roof with you. If you already know why, you guys have had lots of conversations, so you can sit with your story. You can look back over the years of the time you guys have been together and count up, add up the costs. Look at the different things that have happened. So you have the answers. There's a lot,
There's
right?
A lot of cons and not pros.
You have the answers. Your why is in the rearview mirror. Now you're going to look at what do we want to do going forward? Because what's happened in the rearview mirror didn't work for us. It's not working for us. We can keep going back and trying to make sense of it, but that's not going to help you with the way your brain is set up. So you have to not ruminate on all the things that have happened in the past and all the things you think he may think. What you have to focus on is what is actually in your power to focus on.
And I want to move forward.
So here's the thing. The next time you meet with your therapist, you ask them, what steps can I take to begin to move forward? But then you have to listen to the suggestions, and then you choose, how am I going to move forward? Maybe we can send you Take Your Life Back.
Yes. Absolutely. So, Rose, we are going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back, but I want to also send you a copy of Intimate Deception as well, because I think that what I hear underneath this is not just bipolar. I hear some trauma going on inside of you, and you really need a strong understanding of what gaslighting is, how it works, and how it works in infidelity and betrayal trauma. So we're going to send you a copy of each of those. Thank you so much for calling in, Rose. And we're going to go head to a break right now. You hear the music, and we'll be back right after this. But if you want to give us a call, 1-800-229-3000.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. So glad that you have joined us today. I want to mention that we have the Restored Workshop coming up. We mentioned sexual betrayal and the damage and the trauma that causes in the lives, especially in the lives of women. So that workshop's coming up July 12th through the 14th in Washington, D.C. And if you are facing sexual betrayal from your partner, we have free download guide to help you. And you can get it at the Restored page at newlife.com. So please, if you're in that situation, check it out. Newlife.com, go to the Restore page, and there's some resources there to help you out. We're now going to go to Mark in Atlanta, Georgia. Mark, are you there?
Yes. I've been through every men's battle, had a weekend with that. And part of sustained victory, and I just feel like I've I've blown it in such a way that I'll never be in right standing with God. I feel like I'm in a dark pit, no way out. And I've been diagnosed with bipolar, and it just seems like I go from one addiction to another. Use food and different medications.
Yeah.
I find myself using those sometimes.
You find yourself, what was that last piece?
Abusing drugs.
Abusing drugs. Mm. Any drugs
food
in particular? Any particular drug?
Opioids.
Are they prescription?
Like yeah.
Mm.
Are you getting them from a physician or on the street?
Yeah.
Physician.
Okay, so, Mark, I want to know about this. What was your childhood like, man? Who hurt you?
Well, it was pretty abusive.
Yeah. Yeah. And what did it look like?
It looked like I wanted to get back. Had the final say in that or something. I just felt betrayed, and I felt like I needed to do something about it.
Well, what did the abuse? What did the abuse look like?
Violence. Yeah.
Like domestic violence was. Did you grow up in a home with your mother and father?
Yes.
Was either of them abusive towards the other, or both of them abusive?
Yes.
Which way did it go? Were they both abusive?
My father was abusive.
Your father was abusive? Was he abusive to you and mom?
Yeah.
Were there other siblings?
Yes.
Was he abusive to all of them?
Well, not so much.
Mostly you?
My sister. Yeah.
Where do you fall in birth order? Are you the oldest son?
Yes.
So did you feel responsible for mom and your siblings?
What do you mean?
Did you ever find yourself feeling like you needed to take care of them or protect them?
Yeah.
Did you feel like you were able to do that as a little boy?
No.
No?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Well, Mark, you are carrying a lot of pain inside of you. And that pain that left unhealed, unaddressed, that turns into a tremendous amount of fear, also does something else which is way more damaging, and it turns itself into shame. Mm-hmm. That when we're abused as children, we can't see that there's something wrong with the adult. Most of us only see that there is or feel that there is something wrong with ourselves. And so you're carrying around this primary kind of broken, defective belief about yourself. And that is going to cause a lot of relational pain and a lot of relational strife. And it's just going to cause you a lot of torment.
And child abuse impacts the brain. You know, I've been seeing commercials about toxic stress and how dangerous it is for babies. People don't realize that when they haven't figured out their stuff and they're just raging around their house, letting off steam and being frustrated and yelling at people, that might make them feel better because they've gotten the anxiety out of their body, but they're scarring everyone else in the house. And so you went through some experiences in your childhood that shaped your brain. It's like having a traumatic brain injury. Mm-hmm. So your neural pathways were formed on abuse. And so you find yourself continually creating chaos because it doesn't really know how to settle in peace. And even though you're doing such great work and have done all the different things, you keep coming back to needing to numb out.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's where the opioids come in, yeah. Is that...
Because it's not easing your pain. It just makes you not care that you're in pain.
Here's the thing that's so frustrating to me is how easily prescribed these things are. Yeah. And the problem with them is that they work.
they work. And then if you get them because you're in pain, mm-hmm. when you don't take them, you're in pain.
Yes.
So you take more, right? So then you're stuck in this cycle. But you've been in this cycle long before the opioids. There's just been, like you said, it's one addiction to the next, and all of it is trying to take the pain away. One of the things is learning how to tolerate the emotional pain, learning how to be present in the truth, in the reality of your story, so that you don't have to stay stuck there. We're taught, just shove it down. It's in the past. Forget about it. Why are we still thinking about that? That happened 300 years ago. Because the effect is still living with us. And so, yes, it happened in your childhood, but in your right now, you're living out the results of it. So take a look at that story and where you were in the story and how little control you had. And then fast forward to where you are right now and start making decisions about what you want the rest of your life to look like. You keep thinking about what's wrong and what you did wrong and all the bad things that have happened. How often do you dream about the good? How often are you planning for good next steps? How often are you making choices that are going to get you to where you want to be?
Yeah. Well, and to get there, Mark, you're going to need to get back to sobriety. And so the pathway here, your brain can't heal if it's under the influence. It just can't. And I would love for that to be the case, but it just is not. Actually, I don't love it to be the case because I want you sober. But when I look at people who are struggling with different what I call whack-a-mole addictions or the addictions that come back, it's like, what is the missing piece? And it sounds like healing is your missing piece. And so there's three really large steps or stages to this. The first one is sobriety. The second one is healing. And then the third one is health. So if you have access to any of a treatment option in your area where I think you need inpatient. If you can get into inpatient treatment, you can get stabilized with care towards sobriety. You can get into some trauma recovery work and some deep trauma recovery work, and that's going to take quite a while. And then restore health back to your lifestyle. I think that really is your pathway forward.
And if you find yourself feeling, you sound really low, and you said you feel like you're in this pit, and it almost sounds hopeless, if you find yourself at that place where you feel like you are at the end of your rope and you're hopeless, get yourself to a hospital. Get yourself to the emergency room and let them know where you are in your mind, in your head, and so that they can help connect you with an inpatient facility so that you can detox, you can get sober, and you can start healing so that you can get healthy.
And we also have the hotline here, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, that can help you out. Mark, thank you so much for calling in. We pray for you. We hope your journey for healing and health happens. We're going to send you the Life Recovery Bible and Workbook. Thank you for joining us today, and we just pray that you would have a fantastic day today, and may you be blessed.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. The preceding program was pre-recorded.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope something you heard will help you live in freedom today. If this content was helpful for you, we would love it if you take a minute, leave us a review, post about it, and rate it. Remember, we have resources and workshops online for you as you continue your journey. Go to newlife.com and find out more information. And thank you for being part of the New Life community. We know that God desires all of us to live a life of wholeness and healing, and we're so glad that you're here.